This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, your host. And as always, thanks for tuning in. The Inflation Reduction Act is a really, really big deal. Like it or hate it, this piece of legislation invests a lot of money in green technology, more money than Congress has ever invested before. And specifically, it invests in things like wind and solar, heat pumps, charging stations, and electric vehicles. But of course, with more money comes more problems, as they say, and this legislation raises an important question. Are car companies adequately prepared to receive these federal incentives from the Inflation Reduction Act for EVs? Jamie Butters is executive editor of Automotive News and co-host of the Automotive News Daily Drive podcast, and he says the answer is no. In a recent article in Automotive News, he notes that 6 of the 10 most popular EVs today won't qualify under this act because they're too expensive or aren't made here in North America. He also notes that if the act works, then the federal government will have to pay an additional $60 billion per year until 2033. To talk about all this and the future of the auto industry here in Michigan as it relates to EVs, we have Jamie Butters with us. Jamie, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks, Stephen. Great to be here.
So let's start with the goal here. This is the most Congress has ever put into green technology. How many EV cars is it hoping to put on the road in 10 years? And how much can we phase out internal combustion engines by that time?
You know, President Biden's goal was 50%, 50% zero emission vehicles. That could include fuel cell cars, but going to be very few of those. EVs are really where it's at. You know, the automakers, the Detroit Three were like, yeah, we can try for that. Maybe let's say 40%, 40 to 50, something like that. I mean, you figure the U.S. market natural run rate is somewhere 16, 17 million light vehicles a year. So if you're going to be 40 or 50% of that, you're talking about 8 million EVs a year. Uh-huh. That's a lot. It's, you know, easier. If the economics get better, it'll get a lot easier, but easier to do on the small end than with the big trucks and all that.
So one of the things that you point out here is that 6 of the most popular EVs won't even qualify for those new federal incentives. So talk about those 6 most popular vehicles and I guess what they would have to do to conform with what Congress is trying to achieve.
Well, I hope you don't mind. I need to get into the politics just a little.
Of course.
So, right, this was a compromise deal with Joe Manchin, from the senator from West Virginia, mm-hmm. conservative Democrat, coal state. He didn't want to have the big EV tax credits that Senator Stabenow and Dale Kildee from Michigan were proposing that would really favor UAW-made vehicles. They wanted U.S.-made vehicles made by union labor. Give an extra $4,500 to those vehicles. He didn't want to do that. He's from a pretty non-union approach there. He's got Toyota in his backyard. So it's like, okay, the auto industry wants a good support. $7,500 is a significant amount. But then what are the limits, right? Well, we want local jobs. So we want the vehicles to be made in North America. That rule takes effect as soon as the president signs the bill. As soon as it's enacted, the current $7,500 and a little less than that for Toyota goes away unless the vehicle is made in North America. Then we have the new rules that come in January 1st, where the cap gets lifted, Tesla and GM get brought back in, but they don't want to be supporting toys for rich people. So if you're an individual tax filer making more than $150,000 a year, or a couple making more than $300,000, you're not going to qualify. So that takes out a lot of the current EV buyers. A lot of EVs are really expensive. That was part of the magic of Tesla's business model. Sell really expensive cars that'll pay for the technology. So then, okay, we don't want to be subsidizing expensive toys for rich people. So if it's a truck or SUV that costs more than $80,000, we're really talking about the Hummer, you know, the Hummer EV pickup, the the nice version of the Ford F-150 Lightning, but also the Model S and the Model X. hey, if you can afford a $100,000 car, you can afford it yourself, right? And that's sort of, and then they don't want to be supporting, as one of the things Joe Manchin really said, we don't want to build this new mode of transportation on the backs of, what do you say, Chinese, I mean, that to turn us from being maybe dependent on oil to dependent on, you know, battery and minerals.
Foreign battery and technology.
From China. So 24 and 25, we see these rules coming in demanding that the minerals come from the U.S. or countries with which we have a free trade agreement, that components don't come from a foreign entity of concern. So it's really, it's like, hey, they put a lot of rules on it. If you meet all the rules, you get a really significant benefit, a real significant tailwind to selling the vehicles. But you, by mid-decade, you're going to have to jump through a lot of hoops.
So as an outside observer of all of this, I would have said before this legislation passed that automakers, especially our domestic automakers, are already really focused on this shift to electric vehicles. It seems like that's what they're really excited about developing. It seems like that's where they're placing their money in terms of investment and research and things like that. And here comes Congress saying, well, yeah, we think you could move faster, or we think you could move in a different way. Is this an example of Congress kind of meddling in something that was already working and making it broken? Or is this Congress kind of, you know, goosing the process along in a helpful way?
It's, you know, helpful to whom and how, but a big part of it is that supply chain component, right? Okay. We get more EVs sold, and maybe, you know, with the other version, with the old system, it was going to run down, right? So as much as while GM is very excited about becoming all EV, maybe by 2035 and all EV for Cadillac and Buick by 2030, they sure would like more taxpayer support behind that. So the demand is then, yeah, to try to find ways to source the minerals that don't come from places that have really bad human rights records, right? We'd rather get lithium from the Salton Sea in California and from, you know, big mines up in Canada than taking cobalt from the Congo. And it's going to be a real benefit to anyone who can figure out, you know, how to make a good enough battery without using any cobalt.
Yeah. In fact, you talk about this this act in the way that if it works perfectly, the federal government might need to pay $60 billion a year to support supply chains and manufacturing plants. Talk about how you come up with this number, and where would that money come from?
I mean, the money would come from the IRS, I guess. They come from the Treasury Department, but tax, you know, there's just the math. Yes, tax that wouldn't be collected. You know, 16 million vehicles. I think that's conservative, actually, you know, for the late decade, but let's say 16 million vehicles, 50% EVs, maybe that's a little aggressive, you know, but if it's 50% of 16, that's 8 million at $7,500 a piece. If all the sourcing is done within all the guidelines, that's, that just the mass out to $60 billion a year. Maybe it'll be half that, but $30 billion, that is a huge support. You know, you think about the, you know, people throw around numbers, you know, how much does, you know, the government support the oil industry and whatnot? So, I mean, it's, maybe it's not a bad investment, but it's expensive. And when that money gets taken away, assuming, I mean, the way it's written now, the legislation runs through 2022, then the spigot gets turned off. Yeah. And that's going to be a big shock to the system.
Yeah. Okay. Jimmy Butters, executive editor of Automotive News and co-host of the Automotive News Daily Drive podcast. It was really great to have you here to explain this new legislation for us. Thanks so much for joining.
My pleasure.
All right, that is going to do it for us today. Come back on Monday when we're going to be talking about the book, How Civil Wars Start, and what the possibility and likelihood is of America tipping back into the idea of a war amongst ourselves. This is 101.9 WDETFM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday.